World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Boy, I'm bubbling and burning and boozing. I don't know what to. I got some good revelation stuff this morning. We'll talk about. We're going to take communion. Joe Carrico is in Denmark, believe it or not. And he gave us, thank God, my wife reminded me. You guys don't think I'm crazy. No, you're not. You already think that. I didn't even know it was Friday. I'm thinking it's Thursday. Steve Deck's here. Steve came in last night. We're going to that Y2K or C2K event this weekend. Steve's in for that. I got a lot going on around me, and I'm just telling you, I ain't crazy. Sometimes I don't know what day it is. Well, so today's Friday, and I'll give you about 30 seconds to go get some element. Go get a cracker, go get some juice, whatever. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about communion as we take it here, you know. It really is something that we take very, very lightly. And Joe Carrico often says, you know, that it's the meal that heals. There's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. And we don't even know what, you know, I had my first communion as a Catholic and went through all that rigmarole and, you know, the transubstantiation that actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells inside me. It dwells inside me. The Holy Spirit does. And this is just an outward expression of what Christ did. He became the bread of life for us. He died on the cross, crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And he says, as often as you do this. He's sitting at a table with a bunch of guys. They're having a banquet. And he's talking to the guys. He's not talking about transubstantiation. And see, we want to legalize and religiousize everything. He said, listen, as often as you do this, think about me. When you're eating, when you're drinking, when you come together, this big table here, this big supper, just think about me. It's about me that I gave up my body for you, and I gave up my blood for you for the remission of sins. And every time you sit down to have a meal, think of me. Think of me. Let me be in every... That's the way I read it. That's the way I read it. I can sit here, right? My wife and I could take communion before we eat. We could be doing communion as we eat. But again, we've religiosized it. And what we're having here right now, getting ready to have, we're just having a good meal together. That's really all this is. We're taking this good meal and say, boy, remember when he died on that cross and he broke his body for us, took on all our physical ailments, everything, healing is the children's bread of life, did all that. Say, here, go take this and think about all the things that the Lord did to you and all the power that's available when you take it. He is the bread of life. That's what. Just remember that. Just remember me when you do this, he said. And then he said, takes his cup. He says, hey, this is my blood. This is my blood. This represents what I did. This isn't the actual blood. This is a representation of his blood. Now, you may have come from a religious training where they tell you it actually becomes his blood, transubstantiation. You can believe that if you want to. But I'm just doing this in remembrance of him. Everything I eat and everything I drink, I do it in remembrance of him. And so he gave us those two elements. And does it have to be wine? Could it be water? Could it be some other beverage? Whatever you do it in remembrance of me. That's what communion is all about. So, Lord, we just thank you that we're here today. We thank you, Lord, that you died on that cross. We believe that. And you, boy, the death on that cross set us free from so many things, Lord. And you just told us that every time that we eat and drink, we got gathered together here at Coach Dave Live. As we start off this Friday morning, we do it in remembrance of you, Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice on that cross, the shedding of your blood. and your forgiveness of sins. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to us. He said, hey, take, go ahead and eat on this. This is my body, he said. Remember this, it's my body. This is what I did for you. As often as you do this, he said, what, eat? As often as you eat, remember me. I'm the bread of life. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. When we got through doing that, he picked up the cup and said, hey, this cup of my blood. And this blood represents the everlasting covenant between me and you. That's what it is. This blood, the shedding of my blood, Jesus said, washed away all your sins. And every time you sit down and eat, and every time you sit down and drink, remember that. Remember me, what it was, the sacrifice that I made for you. And my mom always used to say this to me when I was getting ready to leave the house when I was a teenager. My mom always said to me, remember who you are. She always said that. Jesus Christ is saying, remember who you are and remember what I did. And every time you sit down and eat and every time you sit down and drink, don't you forget who I am and what I did for you. Drink it. Amen, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And there's something special about when we do it together. Paul sitting out there in Maine. Randy sitting out there in Oklahoma. Ray sitting up there in Wisconsin. Dave Allison sitting up there in Illinois. Something special, man. We thank you for that communion, Lord. Let it be the bread that heals. Bread that heals. The meal that heals. Jesus' name. Amen. What's that? Oh, my. What? Oh, my goodness. Dave's in Michigan. I said, oh, Lord. Okay, I'm sorry, Dave. That's like swearing.
It's like amen. Amen.
didn't mean to swear on you, Dave. Okay, look, excuse me. Hey, folks, I'll tell you this right now. If you cannot see, this is going to be a good show. Don't go away. If you cannot see the revealing of evil, I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to tell you this really. Coach, you say, Coach, go the same way every time. The church is missing it, folks. The church is missing it. We don't understand that what is happening is evil is throwing a temper tantrum right in front of us. And we don't connect the dots. And we don't understand what's going on, right? We don't understand what's going on. I wonder how many Christians have never heard of Charlie Kirk. What were you supposed to... What, folks, look, do you understand this? Do you understand that the entire NFL is calling for a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk? Ohio State University football fields, a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk. What the heck? What? There's something going on. Most people don't even know who he is. Never even heard him. Or is something going to happen? Okay, so here's what I want to go today. Because look, here is what we have to guard against. This is me, okay? Here's what Coach Dave thinks. That wasn't some lone nut. How many more times are we going to have people get killed and say it was a lone nut? How many times? Come on now. Come on. We don't know about MK mind control and all that. I'm not going to dive into all that stuff today. And by the way, I want you to be very aware of this, that the confusion that is going out over the airwaves is intentional. Satan is the author of... What is Satan the author of? Can somebody help me? Satan is the author of
confusion,
chaos. Let me ask you, how many suspects have they now brought before us? And can you go on the internet and go to YouTube, because I've been doing some of this, and go on YouTube and find all these conspiracy theories going on. Oh, look, the bullet went here. No, the bullet went here. Oh, no, it was shot from here. No, it was shot from there. Look at this guy here. It's confusion, right? And the opposite team thrives off of confusion. Be careful what you believe. And it goes back to where I said long, long time ago, for those of you who started watching Coach Dave Live, who told you that? And how do you know they're right? And so you can go right now. If you scroll down Facebook, I've been pretty active at this. You scroll down Facebook, Facebook is all Charlie Kirk. theory after theory after theory after theory after theory, picture, 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 picture. It's confusion. So I want to take you somewhere today if you let me. Hey, bye. Real quickly before I forget, Johnny's in here this morning. Hey, Johnny, the C2K report, pour that up there. We're going to that tonight. Steve Deck came in for that. And you guys can still go and you can still get get my brain working here. The streaming, if you want to. There it is. C2K reports, $30 to get in. I know some of you can't get there. Okay. I know you can't get there. I didn't figure this out. This is Peter the Russian's church. You guys know Peter the Russian? Peter might be listening today. I had no idea that. I thought, how come they're coming to Plain City, Ohio? It's Peter the Russian's church. So if you're interested in the C2K report, the Clash of Two Kingdoms, that's what C2K means, Clash of Two Kingdoms report. Well, there it is. Okay. So we'll put it in the chat. You can get the digital part of it, so you can watch it if you want to, or you can go, you can live stream it, yada, yada, yada. Okay. So there it is. It's in the chat. Mel's got her hand up and we'll let it go because I'm going to dive into it. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, I know you're going to dive into it.
Hang on, Mel. Hey folks, yeah. Listen, keep staking now more than ever. Keep staking. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah. Thanks, Coach. So I was contacted by Craig, and he has put together an action honoring Charlie Kirk. You can find it at the Refiner's Fire website. And also I've posted at the Liberty Action Network, and I've put the link in the chat. So
I apologize to Craig. I had that on my list to do, and I didn't get it up there. Can you click on that, Johnny, real quick? Refinersfire.com.
Go ahead and just click on the one in the chat. There you go. Go down. Mm-hmm. If you can go down there a little bit, it is the second thing posted on the front page.
Craig's put a lot of work into this again, as usual. I love how Refiner's Fire honoring Charlie Kirk.
And then, Jonathan, if you'll scroll down a little bit, I just kind of took a little bit of a description, but if you hit on that link, then that will take you directly to the action on Craig's site. So anyway, hope that's helpful. He's calling for a 10-day fast. So I don't know.
Not for Charlie Kirk, but for our nation. Okay. In honor of Charlie Kirk, Refiner's Fire is calling for those who wish to participate in a 10-day fast, eating only vegetables, as Daniel did in Daniel 1. In some ways, though not all, both Charlie and Daniel were called by God at a very early age to serve his purposes. Daniel's three friends asked the chief shepherd to allow them to eat only vegetables for 10 days. Okay, so there it is. We're kicking that thing off now. Refiner's Fire, put it in there. Vegetables only, 10 days. Cool. All right.
You can, whatever you can do, Coach.
Yep, whatever you can do.
You can come in for 10, you can come in for 2. It's about fasting and prayer. If we're in a spiritual war, which we all agree to here, right, what's the Lord say? Some of those only go by fasting and prayer, and that's what we're up against, something pretty big here.
Amen, 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 amen. I've prepared a lot this morning. I want to get in here. Thanks, Craig, for doing all that. I didn't mean to slight you. It's just, I didn't even know it was Friday this morning. My wife thinks I'm losing my mind. I didn't even know it was Friday. I was thinking it's Thursday. Wow. Okay, so I want to show you. Here's where I want to go this morning. I don't want to talk about the shooting and what happened and everything surrounding it and who did it and why they done it. No, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want to try to open your eyes. Remember, the Bible said that we're to take captive every thought. Take captive every thought, not some thoughts. What's the old saying? Consider the source. And especially now with the mainstream, the alternative media, dudes, you're going to be able to find out. Some of the videos I watched yesterday of the guy beside him shot him, the guy over here shot him. And I mean, is really, he's not even dead. It's whatever. I'm not going to dive into that stuff. Here's what I want to help us all learn today. Okay. Charlie was a savant. Get ready. Get number two ready, Johnny. Get number two ready. Charlie was a savant. A savant. Does anybody know what a savant is? Remember Rain Man? You guys remember that? Dustin Hoffman? Rain Man, that's a savant. A savant a lot of times is associated with the, I don't know if you can pull that up, John, if you could go to Webster's, they may not even have it in there, what a savant is. Charlie Kirk was a savant. He had an unbelievable gift that was almost spiritual in its nature. And we all know what Rain Man was, things he could remember and things he could, it's a savant, a learned person, a scholar. But it's deeper than that. A savant, in many times, is almost beyond natural and normal. A savant is a person of learning, one who with detailed knowledge in some specific field. Charlie Kirk was a savant. I never heard Charlie. I never heard them ask a question that Charlie couldn't answer, ever. And I was watching some stuff yesterday, and I thought, Lord, how does he know all that stuff? How does he know all that stuff? He's only 31 years old. He said, well, he reads vociferously. Well, that may be. I read a lot too. I can't even remember what day it is sometimes. And Charlie had this unique God-given savant ability. So I want I'm not gonna do 8 minutes of it, but Charlie Kirk could win a debate in a way that nobody could win a debate. He did it with a smile on his face, and he did it with logic. I'm going to get it. We're going to talk about logical fallacies here. Stay with me, because Charlie was the greatest in my lifetime of somebody who could destroy arguments. By the way, isn't that what the Bible says we're supposed to do? Huh? Casting down imaginations, destroying principalities, huh? So let's just watch this real quick clip. We won't watch it all. This says the top Charlie Kirk debate moments. Hang on a minute. Today's show is not about who killed him, why they killed him, what's going on behind. I ain't gone there, okay? That's all a distraction. I would tell you this. This was a hit. Charlie Kirk, this was not some random, it's always some random shooter and always some random shooter. No. It didn't. Some top moments from Charlie Kirk. What? Listen. Oh, man. Listen to how he wins the argument. And you know what? You know how he wins the argument? He asks questions. Just like Jesus did. Hey, friends. Many of you out there are losing debates because you're telling people what you know. And you're not listening to what they don't know. When you ask them questions, it reveals their knowledge base. Charlie was a savant. Just play a couple minutes of this. Maybe you can put her 1.5.
It's not about the cell. It's not about. No. I'm speaking. No, 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 I'm speaking.
Hello, everyone. I am Charlie Kirk.
Hang on. Why would they kill him? What has Charlie Kirk ever done to anybody, other than, destroying arguments? Go ahead.
Founder of Turning Point USA, and I am surrounded by 20 woke college kids. A woman is an adult female with XX chromosomes. You tell me, what is a woman?
I think a woman is somebody who identifies as a woman.
Got it. So that's not a definition. That's like saying a table is something that identifies as a table. Give me an objective definition.
No, it's not. A table is an object.
Well, tell.
A table can't identify as anything. It doesn't have a choice.
You have to give me an objective definition of what a woman is.
If I decided right now that I wanted to identify as a woman, I would be a woman.
Okay, but that doesn't answer the question.
I know, but right now I'm a man, right? So if that happened right now, I'd be a woman.
Folks, asking questions reveals the other person's knowledge base. Go ahead.
What is a woman?
That's the definition.
No, I know, but you have to tell me what.
A person who identifies themselves as a woman.
But you have how do you know that they are that thing?
How do I? I don't need to know what they. I can ask them if I want to know.
But there needs to be. You need to tell me what that thing is, though.
Somebody who. Okay, sorry. We're not getting anywhere.
No. It's important because it's like saying a giraffe is a thing that looks like a giraffe, or a coyote is a thing that looks like a coyote. It's called circular reasoning. You have to give me an actual definition.
I don't have to. I did give you a definition.
No. You said that a woman is something that thinks they're a woman. That doesn't give me a definition.
Do you feel proud of yourself for debating college kids who are unprepared to speak in front of an audience like yourself? Hold on. You're 30 years old. We can agree you're 30 years old, right? Do you think that's a little bit silly?
Are you a voter?
I am a voter. I'm
oh,
a
so
voter.
I vote and you vote. So I'm talking to voters of this country that will determine the future of Western civilization. That's what I'm doing here today. Yeah? Wait, hold on. How is it any different than a professor talking to you?
Questions.
Than a professor Questions. Talking to you? Who are you?
Well, enough important enough for you to come up to a microphone.
You create a company that's like...
Freeze it. Folks, listen to him. He does not tell them. He asks questions. It reveals what they believe. Go ahead.
Like, close to being a fascist, and then, like...
Okay. How am I... Sorry. Let's go through this. How am I a fascist?
No. Dude, like, you...
Can you name one thing I believe that's fascist?
You believe that, like... You are... Oh, shit.
But
I'm such a bad fascist. I let the people who disagree just, an open mic to talk to me for 2 hours uninterrupted.
I'm an
awful fascist. I'm more like a free speech liberal of the 1970s, not a fascist.
But I just want to say Turning Point USA is a evil company that was funded by thousands of fracking companies, and that
well,
just...
No, it's not thousands, but we do have some frackers that give us money. But
yeah,
have,
and then all it is making the rich
from
more...
Fascism.
Rich.
Fascism to fracking.
That's but, all it is. That's but, all it is.
Okay, again, I'm happy to have a debate. I can see you're getting kind of fired up.
I'm sorry.
So, but why are we evil? Like, we're having a nice discussion.
Because
all of a sudden, you're calling me like,
because
a fascist.
It seems like you just want the rich get even more rich. Like,
we haven't talked about the rich at all. I mean, so you don't even know my positions on this stuff.
Under no circumstance ever should a man ever let a woman pay for a date. Or you
ever?
Split, ever. No circumstance.
Even on the third, fourth, fifth.
What if it's what, first
no,
date
no,
and you're just not into
anything?
Okay, well, let me...
Period.
Well, okay, so...
I think that's enough. This is, folks, I'll put it in the chat. Got to watch it. Got to watch it because this guy is a savant. And I'm telling you, he was so important that they had to take him out. He had to take him out. Because you know why? If Coach Dave was sitting there, they'd say, oh, he's some old fogey, old-fashioned. Charlie was one of them. 31 years old, young, vibrant. And God put him in as a savant to be able to hear what they were saying. It's Charlie's 10 best minute moments, okay? Now, hang on. Pull up number logical fallacies. This is what we have not been taught very well. This is why we lose debates. That's why we lose debates. 3 minutes and 34 seconds. Here are logical fallacies. Go ahead. Trying to
Vegetables
teach you something
again. Are bad for you. After all, the dinosaurs ate plants, and we all know what happened to them. Let's pause for a moment. That argument was ridiculous, and that's because it contained a logical fallacy. A logical fallacy is any kind of error in reasoning that renders an argument invalid. They can involve distorting or manipulating facts, drawing false conclusions, or distracting you from the actual issue at hand. In theory, it seems like they'd be pretty easy to spot, but this isn't always the case. Sometimes logical fallacies are used intentionally to try and win a debate. In these cases, they're often presented by the speaker with a certain level of confidence, and in doing so, they're more persuasive. If they sound like they know what they're talking about, we're more likely to believe them, even if their stance doesn't make complete logical sense. One common logical fallacy is the false cause. This is when someone incorrectly identifies the cause of something. In my argument, I stated that the dinosaurs became extinct because they ate vegetables. Now, while these two separate things did happen, a diet of vegetables was not the cause of their extinction. Maybe you've heard false cause
global
more
warming,
commonly represented by the
warming,
phrase, correlation does not equal causation. Meaning that just because two things occurred around the same time, it doesn't mean that one caused the other. A straw man is when someone takes an argument and misrepresents it so that it's easier to attack. For example, let's say Callie is advocating that sporks should be the new standard for silverware since they're more efficient. Madeline responds that she's shocked Callie would want to outlaw spoons and forks and put millions out of work at the fork and spoon factories. A straw man is frequently used in politics in an effort to discredit another politician's views on a particular issue. Begging the question is a type of circular argument where someone includes the conclusion as a part of their reasoning. George says, "Ghosts exist. because I saw a ghost in my closet. His conclusion is ghosts exist. His premise also assumes that ghosts exist. Rather than assuming that ghosts exist from the get-go, George should be using evidence and reasoning to prove that they exist. The false dilemma, or false dichotomy, is a logical fallacy where a situation is presented as being an either-or option when in reality there are more possible options available than just the chosen two. Rebecca rings the doorbell.
Okay, so think about this with me a second. What's the logical fallacy that the left wants to do regarding school shootings? What's the logical fallacy they want to do? Somebody help me.
Ban firearms.
Ban guns.
Ban guns. Ban guns. Go ahead, play it. Logical fallacy. We remove guns, thinks, killings will stop.
Ethan must not be home. Rebecca posits that either Ethan answers the door or he isn't home. In reality, he could be sleeping, doing some work in the backyard, or taking a shower. Most logical fallacies can be spotted by thinking critically. Make sure to ask questions. Is logic at work here, or is it simply rhetoric? Does their proof actually lead to the conclusion they're proposing? By applying critical thinking, you'll be able to detect logical fallacies in the world around you and prevent yourself from using them as well.
Says who? Says who? The earth is getting warmer because cow farts? These are all logical fallacies. They create a situation and give you the cause. Folks, it's everywhere we look. So they say racism is the problem when they are creating racism. Are you with me? See, this is what Charlie Kirk has been doing, all teaching critical thinking to young kids. That's why he was so dangerous. That's why he was so dangerous. Oh my goodness. Let me see here. Well, I got some lot of good stuff here, but I don't want to wear you out with it. Okay, pull this one up. Number five. No, go to number six real quickly. Number six. In your everyday debate. George, you listening? You listening? Oh, can we get that open? Pop that thing. 24 most common logical. Folks, I'm trying to teach you how to think today, okay? Okay, so we're going to scroll down. I'll put it in the chat. Here are the 24 most common logical fallacies that you and I fall into and believe an argument, huh? Okay, look, a straw man. What's a strong man? Say, well, that guy, that conservative over there, he told me that God hates homosexuals. Therefore, all Christians hate homosexuals. That's a logical fallacy. That's a straw man argument. All right. I'm going to put this in there. A false cause. You presumed that a real or perceived relationship between things means that one causes the other. See, we planted those damn tomatoes and the corn died. That's a false cause. Appeal to emotion. These are 24. I'm going to go fast. You attempted to manipulate an emotional response in place of a valid or compelling argument. Coach Dave, if we don't get gun control, more kids are going to die. I said, no. More kids. Oh, you want more dead kids? See, that's an appeal to your emotion. Anybody tracking with me here today? So the fallacy. You presume that because the claim has been poorly argued or a fallacy has been made, that the claim itself must be wrong. See, arguing the wrong point. And if you listen to Charlie Kirk, it's always asking questions. And then when they state their position, he questions the position. He didn't tell them. It's a slippery slope. You said that if we allow A to happen, then Z will eventually happen too. Therefore, A cannot happen. In other words, if we take away guns, violence will go away. That's crazy. Ad hominem. You attack your opponent's character or personal traits in an attempt to undermine their argument. Hey, I'm a racist. I'm a bigot. I'm a homophobe. You hate, right, folks? And this shuts people up. See, we will not argue because we don't want to be called names. That's why it works. To quote is to, you avoid having to engage with criticism by turning it back on the accuser. You answered criticism with criticism. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Say, you know where this goes. Personal incredulity. Because you found something difficult to understand or are unaware of how it works, you make out like it's probably not true. Mm-hmm. Special. Okay, I'm not going to read all these. I'm going to put these in the chat. And if we don't understand what we're up against and how to take captive every thought, making them defend their position, they can't do it. Charlie Kirk, ask questions. Number five, I'm going to open it up here in a minute. Number five, 4 minutes. You want to know how to outsmart people? Watch this for 4 minutes and you outsmart 90% of the people. I love my buddy George. George wouldn't even mind if I'm talking about him. He's coming over here today. Wouldn't mind him. I said, George, stop arguing with him. Stop arguing with him. It's not. Make them defend their position. Don't tell them what you are. Don't tell them what your position is because they already think you're nuts. Don't tell them what your position is. Explain to them through questions what their position is. Listen to what they're saying and take them down where the logic takes their argument. Don't tell them what you think. They already think you're crazy, right? There's 4 minutes. Pretty good. Go ahead.
Most people will never figure this out. They'll go through life thinking being smart means remembering facts, quoting books, or getting straight A's. But deep down, you know something's off because you've seen people with degrees make dumb decisions. You've seen people with high IQs crumble under pressure. And you've wondered, if they're so smart, why do they keep messing up? Here's the truth. Being smart isn't about knowing more. It's about seeing differently, thinking in a way most people never even consider. And today you're going to learn how. These five mental shifts don't just make you smarter. They make you dangerously effective. The kind of person who walks into a room and changes the whole temperature. No ego, no bragging, just calm, quiet power. Let's begin. 1. Don't argue to win. Ask to understand. Most people argue like they're in a courtroom trying to win, prove, dominate. Smart people, they don't play that game. They don't need to win. They want to understand. They ask, what makes you feel that way? What result are you actually hoping for? Have you considered this other angle? They stay calm. They stay curious. And because they're not attacking, people open up. And when people open up, the truth shows itself. That's the trick. You don't need to defeat people. You need to understand them. That's how real minds are changed. And that's what smart people actually do. 2, don't obsess over the moment. Zoom out and see the system. Most people treat failure like a full stop. They mess up a presentation and spiral. They get rejected and shut down. They bomb a workout and think, I suck. But smart people, they don't take it personally. They don't even call it failure. They call it data. They ask, what led to this? What pattern got me here? What can I tweak and test again? They treat life like a system, not a soap opera. Zoom out far enough and nothing is final. Everything is just feedback. That's how smart people grow. They learn faster because they don't waste time sulking. They're too busy tweaking the system. 3, filter everything through one simple question. Is this in my control? Most people stress over things they can't do anything about. Traffic, gossip, someone's opinion, the news. And the more they try to control the uncontrollable, the more they burn out. Smart people, they don't waste energy like that. They ask, can I control this? If yes, take action. If no, let it go. They don't spiral. They slice through the noise. That calm energy you see in high performers, it comes from ruthless focus. And that focus comes from control not over the world, but over themselves. 4, get comfortable with silence. Ever noticed how uncomfortable people get in silence? They rush to fill it with jokes, arguments, noise, anything. Smart people, they own the silence. They listen more than they speak. They let the moment breathe. They don't interrupt, they watch. Why? Because the person who talks the least often knows the most. The less reactive you are, the more powerful you become. Silence is strength. It makes people lean in. It reveals things loud people miss. And most of all, it keeps you in control. 5, don't react, observe. Someone says something rude, most people snap. Life throws a curveball. Most people panic. Smart people, they pause, they breathe, they watch, they calculate. And that tiny pause, that moment of observation, it gives them leverage, insight, clarity. Reacting is easy. Observing is power. Because when you pause, you see what others don't. You become the calm one in chaos. And that makes you unforgettable. Final thoughts. You don't need a PhD. You don't need to talk the loudest. You don't even need to be the fastest learner in the room. You just need to shift how you think. Ask instead of argue. Zoom out instead of panic. Focus only on what you can control. Embrace the silence. Observe before you react. That's the real flex. Most people won't do this. They'll keep rushing, overreacting, and draining their own power. But you, if you start building these mental habits now, you won't just feel smarter. You'll be smarter, calmer, sharper, unshakable. Call to action. If this hit home, don't just scroll away. Like this video if it woke something up inside you.
Okay, there you go.
Comment below.
There you go. Jesus Christ asked questions. Have you not heard? Is it not written? Charlie Kirk asked questions. How many of you get yourself all in a stress because you do the talking and you don't do the listening and you don't ask the right questions? And a lot of times, if you ask the right questions, their lack of information or their biases will be exposed to everybody, including themselves. They'll see, look, liberals, whatever that term means, conservatives, we tend to hang together, right? And so lefties believe what they believe because they hang around other lefties who believe what they believe. So Charlie Kirk comes into the midst of it, and he begins to ask questions about, why do you believe that? And they cannot justify it. They can't justify it. Remember this, friends. The Holy Spirit guides them to all truth. Not you. Not your wisdom. Not that kind of stuff. Question is what? Does who? Who told you that? And you saw some of those guys. Pull that one up. Let's do one or two more of Charlie talking to people. And watch how they begin to stumble when he just asks a question and they understand they don't have the answer. Go ahead.
What world are we living in?
Well, hold on a second. I agree with you. If I'm dating a girl, I would pay for everything.
Everything.
Yeah, everything. However, I could see for other people that might be in a different financial position, you know, you pay for 10 dates and then she's like, you know what? I want to treat you.
Well, that's totally different. What we're talking about is like, oh, we're going to alternate. Like, well, what's your serious? And she wants to take you out to something for a nice dinner. And you might, by the way, if you have the intent to marry, you're already like kind of blending finances. Like, I get that psychologically. But like, if you're like, oh, we'll take turns. Like, oh, well, you know, you pay this time, I pay this time.
What's your advice to a girl who the guy she's currently seeing, he says that?
Oh, do not marry that man.
But here's the thing. I feel like they should always
break offer.
Crazy. But they should offer. They should pull out the credit card.
The woman?
Of course not.
Just to offer.
No.
It's a nice gesture.
No, by the way, no. This is feminism. Feminism is that you have to be this like self-independent. This is not a nice gesture. It's you trying to be like egalitarian. No. You as woman should want to be provided for. In fact, you should have an expectation that you as a woman are so important and so critical and so necessary and beautiful that it shouldn't even be a question.
Do you view democracy as an American value, something that's very important to the fabric of this country?
No. Where is democracy in the U.S. Constitution?
Oh, okay. So are
you... No, hold on. Where is the word democracy?
I don't think the word democracy is in the Constitution.
So where is the word democracy?
Freeze it. Folks, don't miss this. He asks questions. She can't hardly take it. Go ahead.
In any of the founding fathers.
A lot of the founding fathers had extremely elitist viewpoints around who should...
No, hold on. Like, I just want to... You said the word democracy, so I want to get back to our roots.
Yes.
Where is democracy mentioned?
I don't...
In the Federalist Papers, the Constitution, or the Declaration?
I think it's good that this country has moved away from things that were explicitly believed by the founding fathers.
So it is mentioned in the Federalist Papers, and it's mentioned negatively as a problem. So you ask me, is democracy a fundamental American value? I say no.
Okay.
Because I go back to our roots, and Hamilton, Madison, and Jay...
Oh, I know that Hamilton was anti-democracy.
Hold on, let me finish.
That people should be owned as property.
I want to be clear. I am pro-representative government,
okay.
But I'm not pro-democracy. That's a big difference, and that distinction is important. But you asked very specifically about democracy, which is not an American value. It never has been and never should be, because what is democracy? Democracy is majority rule no matter what, that there's no provisions of checks and balances, no inalienable rights,
no separation of powers, pure if the majority gets it, the majority wants it, as quickly as possible.
I don't advocate pure democracy. I do understand that we live in a representative, like we live in a republic, so I understand
these things. You're a stochastic terrorist.
What is that?
He's only 31 years old! 31 years old! This guy was a savant. Go ahead. One more.
A minority group. You're talking to trans people specifically.
What is a woman?
What is a, that's a stupid-ass question, dude. That's a dumb-ass question.
What is a woman, college student?
What is a woman? Oh, you're talking to a college student instead of, like, I don't know, someone who has media training?
They can't answer what a woman is. It's not a trick question. What is a woman?
Someone who identifies as a woman.
What is that thing? You can't answer the question with the question. It's like saying, what is the sun? The sun is something that looks like the sun. What is a woman?
It's a socially identified as a woman.
No, you can't answer the question with... Yeah, define the woman without saying woman.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's your name?
Dakota.
Nice to meet you, Dakota. How old are you?
I'm 11.
Amazing. Give it up for Dakota being here today.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. Because he never attacked people. He was never harsh. He never called names. He spoke the truth. He was teaching others to speak the truth. Somebody decided this guy's got to go. Craig, come on in.
Well, Mr. Producer, can you pull up that article there? All right. So Satan had Charlie Kirk in 1971. That's her name. Okay. And if you go down, Coach, maybe you can just read that. Or it's just a short article. Okay. What she was doing is she was on the college campuses. Okay. Have Coach read that. So it's a small one, right? Okay. And what she was doing is she was reading off her playbook. Her playbook was Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky, right? Okay. She even wrote about that. Okay. Right. What Charlie Kirk was doing. Okay. So here the Lord, okay, when the flood comes in, Isaiah 59, the Lord raises up a standard, right? That's what it says. Well, 50 years later in 2012, okay, from 71 to 2012, the Lord raised up a standard, and it was Charlie Kirk, and his playbook was the Bible.
Unashamed.
Read that article. It's pretty, it's not short, but it's to the point.
Okay. Go to the beginning. A letter from Hillary Clinton to the late Saul Alinsky was published, okay? In it, Clinton, then a 23-year-old law graduate in Berkeley, informs the Chicago activist that she had to survive law school, slightly bruised with my belief and zest for organizing intact. The more I've seen of places like Yale Law School and the people who haunt them, Clinton said, the more convinced I am that we have the serious business and joy of much work ahead. If the commitment to free, well, I'm getting dizzy. If the commitment to free and open society is ever going to mean more than eloquence and frustration. Clinton first met Alinsky when she was at Wellesley working on her 1969 thesis, many of which were outlined in the handbook Revela of Radicals. In the book, Alinsky encouraged community organizers to fan the latent hostilities of low-income inner-city residents, search out controversial issues rather than avoid them. His 1971 book, Rules for Radicals, published a year before his death, picked the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Dear Saul, Clinton wrote in 1971, when is that new book coming out? Or has it come out and I somehow missed the fulfillment of Revelation? I've just had my 1,000th conversation about Revelli and need some new materials to throw at people. She thanked Alinsky for advice he gave her about campus organizing. If I never thanked you for the encouraging words of last spring in the midst of the Yale Campbellian marches, I do so now, Clinton said. So she asked if they could meet next time. I'm living in Berkeley, working in Oakland. Let me know if there's any chance of us getting together. In other words, what Craig's saying is Hillary Clinton brought in the Rules for Radicals, which was nothing more than communism. Chad, hopefully we can have a good argument. Lindsay's long time, blah, blah, blah. Since I know this feeling about you, what do you want me to get
the whole thing, Coach? I mean, everybody gets the point. But what I'm saying is what she was, Charlie, what she was the premier before
she was
Charlie,
the first Charlie. She was the first Charlie. She was the first Charlie. Right. Hey, folks, and now Alinsky and Hillary own the universities. So Charlie went in and he introduced truth, unashamed Christianity truth, simply by asking questions. Folks, they had to kill him. They had to kill him because the Democratic base had always been young people, not always, recently. Democrats, young people are idealistic. They wanted to be perfect, how things ought to be. They're always anti-establishment. That's who the universities were. And Charlie Kirk shows up, and thousands of young people came, and they heard him dialogue by asking questions. They had to kill him. They had to kill him. I don't know who. I'm not going to get into all the conspiracies, all that kind. I'm not going to get into it. Charlie Kirk was a dangerous man because he changed minds by asking questions. It's so clear. Who told you that? Why do you believe that? And who told you that? You trust him? Why do you trust him? Folks, this ain't hard. this ain't rocket science. He was a master at it. He was a savant. And today in America, we sit in front of the TV or the internet and they tell us the truth. We don't even ask questions. We don't. Does anybody ever ask? You know, Charlie Kirk came, I don't know if you know this or not, I hate to tell you this, started to come out against Israel. I don't know if you know that or not. He did. Charlie, people would ask questions. Somebody, there'd be a transgender killing going on. And everybody would blame guns. And Charlie would say, why are so many transgenders doing this? Oh, you don't want to ask that, see, because it changes the argument. It's called dialectic. Charlie was a savant. He was great at it. James Thomas, come on in, James.
Yeah, it's really the presentation of the gospel, really what it is. Is Jesus, if you look at how Jesus did it, he did it the same way. And then if you've seen Paul, when he came on the scene, he kind of did the same thing. And look at the confusion and the strife. Sometimes it would rise up when Paul would get asking and doing these debating. I mean, they freaking wanted to stone him and kill him. So kind of amazing how God works in certain people. Every one of us should be that way, right?
So this is why David Arthur's ministry is so important. Because why? He's exposing the lies that we've all been fed about homosexuality and transgenderism, and they're just being discriminated against, and they just want to live their lives. He's exposing all of that. He's exposing all of it. It's a cult. Mm. And you know what's sad? Churches don't want to hear from David Arthur because he will destroy the imaginations that others have created in their minds.
Deliverance is messy. It is a messy thing. And people who, you just got to be full of the Holy Ghost and power to do it, to even in, I would say, 95% of the church. They don't even believe Satan exists.
Here's the thing. Charlie Kirk presented Christianity as a world view. See, we don't have that. Christianity is first and foremost a world view. God created man. There's the devil, Satan. There's a struggle, a spiritual struggle going on. And Charlie Kirk was attacking that. That fallacy, that logical fallacy, right? That man is good, whatever that might be. And friends, they couldn't counter it. They couldn't counter it. Jeff, come on in. I want to shut up. I want to hear from you guys. We got 11 minutes left. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, the other day, I was just sharing with Martin, called me last night, and I was sharing with him. The day that Charlie Kirk was killed, it was 6 o'clock that night. And previously, on Saturday before that, I had two lesbians come into my car lot wanting to buy a car. They stumbled across my car lot by mistake. And from Zanesville in Mount Vernon, went to two other car lots and wasn't happy, wasn't pleased with the people. They happened to stumble in there. And then I'm sitting there like, bite your tongue. Just shut up, Jeff. Do not start on them. You know what I mean? So they bought a vehicle. They got they're guaranteed a loan for 10 grand. In the end, I end up getting a check the other day. But they had to come back 3 days later. When they come back, and first time they were there, they dropped the bomb on me. Like, well, which address would I use? I said, where are you living? She said, well, I'm going to be living. I'm in Zanesville now, but I'm going to be living in Buckeye Lake. because I'm going to be moving in with her and we're getting married in 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh, please, please. I couldn't blow the sale. I had to be a little smarter. And normally we just start in telling them what we know. So they come back then Tuesday night. And she said, you know, it's weird how we ended up here. I said, let me tell you something. And I just planted some seeds while I'm writing the paperwork up. I said, it isn't a mistake or weird or a fluke. I said, do you women believe in God? And they said, yeah. I said, well, here's the deal. God directs our footsteps. He directs our paths. And usually we don't even notice it. I said, but he put you here for a reason. And I left it at that. So I thought, I'm waiting until I get the paperwork all wrote up. I got the check. When I put the temp tag in the back window, then I'm going to have a little conversation with him, a caring conversation. So I've learned a little bit from Charlie and David on how to deal with these people.
Ask questions.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
So I end up giving them the book, Living in Christ, the book of John that I pass out, and give them David's book. I said, here's two things you need to take a look at. One, about Jesus Christ. Two, this is a buddy of mine. He was wounded and injured, hurt in life, and he was fed a lie. He believed the lies. I said, so just do me a favor, look through them up. And I said, you can go to David's website. His website's I Belong, Amen. And they looked at, and I repeated that again, I Belong, Amen. I slowed it down. The whole time, for 10, 15 minutes, they're standing there paying attention. And you know, normally when you get in a conversation, they start veins bulging their neck. They start cussing. They get mad. Blah, blah, blah.
Ask questions, baby. Ask questions. Don't tell them. Ask questions.
It always good.
Okay, I want to move. I want to move on, Jeff. I only got 7 minutes left. Pull up Charlie on Declaration of Independence. Johnny, pull that up there for me. Charlie Kirk in the Declaration of Independence. Did you get it? Yeah, you got it.
Taught on common law because the Declaration only refers to God 4 times in the Constitution. It doesn't refer to God at all, and it only articulates the structure of government.
So first of all, remember that we were a collection of states and colonies, and you need to read the state constitutions before anything else. 13 out of 13 required a declaration of faith. In almost every single one of the original state constitutions, they had I profess Lord and Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Secondly, 55 out of 56 of the original signers of the Declaration were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. You asked about common law. Well, let's go to 3 principles of common law. Presumption of innocence, due process, and jury of your peers. All 3 are biblical principles. So, and all wrapped into the ultimate biblical principle that you shall not favor justice if you are rich or poor, which is in Leviticus 19, which is the idea of blind justice, which is incorporated also in the New Testament ideal, neither slave nor Greek nor Jew, you are all one in Jesus Christ, which is the idea of human equality. These are all biblical ideas, but more importantly than that, they say that God was only mentioned 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's a big deal. John Adams famously said the Constitution was only written for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate for the people of any other. The body politic of America was so Christian that our form and structure of government was built for the people that believed in Christ our Lord. One of the reasons we're living through a constitutional crisis is that we no longer have a Christian nation, but we have a Christian form of government, and they're incompatible. So you cannot have liberty if you do not have a Christian population.
Our country was founded.
Wow, huh? How can a 31-year-old be able to articulate something? Huh? God was a savant, man. We lost something unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because you know why? When the Christians would come to hear Charlie, they would learn. They'd be in the crowd, and they would think, damn, how come I can't make that argument? Damn. This guy was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it isn't amazing that the tolerant left is only tolerant if you agree with them. You notice that? Come on, Trent.
My question is then, was he truly being followed and supported by the American Christian?
Was Charlie?
His name it didn't ring out in the church.
No,
you know?
Well,
his name wasn't spoken of in the church.
No,
he was the greatest Christian. Yeah.
Yep.
Greatest Christian political activist of my whole life. I mean, that I've seen that made a change, made a wave. You know, that I've seen, that I can think of, and his name was never mentioned in the in the church.
31 years old. How long has he been doing this? And he was killed at 31 and had more wisdom than most Christian men. He was a savant. He was a God-sent savant. Craig.
Yeah, well, Coach, here's the difference. This man had an anointing. Okay, an anointing is a calling from God to do the things of God. It's not a right. It's not a position, right? It's not a title. It's an anointing. So first, he had an anointing. I put in the chat, and this is really, you know, I mean, God bless Charlie Kirk. I mean, I know a lot more about him than I ever did. But I mean, honestly, you know, I think this is what Jesus did. First off, give credit to, you know, the past, our lawyer friend, Roger. I said, in court, you don't ask a question unless you already know what the answer is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So ask questions. Know the irrefutable evidence. Okay. Make sure, you know, don't watch a podcast and think you're, you know, up on it. Spend the intellectual time it takes to understand what you're trying to argue, okay, and know both sides of the argument, and then don't let them change the conversation, because right. What happens is when they come against something that's irrefutable, they want to swing over here. So when you were a coach and you said, okay, run right, guys, and the big heavy dude that, you know, can tackle the person all the time, what do? You say, okay, let's go left this time, guys. Maybe we can get through, right? And that's what these radicals do. When they cannot go through what you're doing, they shift and they try to make it into something else.
So here's the really good thing, Craig. I gotta move on. Here's the really good thing, folks. Here's a really good thing. Listen to me. You know what they believe. You already know what they believe. They don't know what you believe. And see, you lose and we lose because we fight on their turf. Ask questions and it exposes them, and you will find them when he asks the right question they can't even answer. He didn't tell them. He asked questions. Tell me what you believe. And then he asked questions about what they just said. Dave Allison. I'm running short here. Go.
That, anyways, Coach, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord. I believe Charlie Kirk, that's where his wisdom came from, because he had a fear of the Lord. Yep. I want also other people to realize those students that he's interviewing there, that guy who couldn't define what a woman was, he said if he said he was a table, he's a table. We already paid $130,000 for that guy's education, okay, through public schools, and that's what we got.
That's right. That's right. Paying more of it. Hey, Johnny, I just sent you a real short clip to ask Charlie Kirk about death. Folks, 31 years old. This guy had the wisdom of Solomon at 31 years old. Only got a couple minutes, John. See if you can get that up there real quick. They asked Charlie about death. Just got it. Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. Takes the 3 minutes to go clear down to North Carolina. I'd get you in here, Glenn, but then we'll hang on. Just hang with me.
I mean, if I die?
Everything just goes away. How would you, if you could be associated with one thing, how would you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
I don't know if you know this, but everyone dies. It's important to remind yourself of that. That you faced God, the judge, and he's going to list everything you did wrong in your life. It's going to be a long sentencing hearing for me. Will you get justice, which is hell, because that's what we deserve. Mercy, which is less of that, which I'll allow the theologians to figure out what that is. Or grace. What is grace? Grace is something so unique, so different, so profound. Which is, as soon as the sentencing's about to be ushered in, someone comes in and says, no, I will serve that prison sentence for him. I will go into the prison cell for him or her so that they can live forever. That's grace. You didn't earn it. You didn't check boxes for it. You didn't go park cars for a ministry and that gets you extra points to go to heaven. None of that's true. It's that it's equally accepted for all people that allow Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior of the world, to be born new, and to be completely and totally renewed. That's a gift that we must try to give all people in the world.
I mean, I've had an unbelievably blessed life.
been doing this now. It'll be 12 years on June 5th.
Such a young man to do it.
So young.
Yeah, so praise God. I mean, okay, I've been all across the world. I've met with world leaders.
I don't know why they didn't get the video up on the screen, but down there, I put it in the chat. I put it in the chat. You at 8 o'clock, that video, Charlie understood the gospel. He understood the gospel. Hey, friends, just ask questions. Just ask questions. And you're going to find out that the average person you come in contact with cannot defend their position. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.